This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, we need ushers. We need ushers. And I just want to say again, men, please call in to the Zoom meeting. Doesn't cost you any money. I guarantee you it will be a blessing to you. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And when you get there, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. When you get there, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Are you there yet? Let's start with verse number 8. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He said, be not thou there for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He says in verse 10, but is now made manifest, okay? But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He said, wherefore I am appointed a preacher. That word preacher means a herald, okay, or someone who proclaims the word. A preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Amen? So 2 Timothy is the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, okay, to encourage him as he continued to carry out his Christian duties, okay? Okay, Timothy was the overseer, of the Christian church at Ephesus, okay, at Ephesus. And he was at, Paul referred to him in chapter 1, in 1 Timothy as his son in the faith. And Timothy was facing some difficult times, okay? He was going through some tough times during that period of time because of the opposition that he faced as being the leader of the Christian church at Ephesus, okay? He faced opposition. He was dealing with some false teachers, okay? False prophets and false teachers who were spreading false doctrine concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? They were spreading false doctrine, and the false doctrine that they were teaching was not only distracting Timothy, but it was also distracting other Christians who was in the church. Are you all still with me? How many of you know as long as we are Christians, we're going to always face opposition, okay? So Timothy was facing some opposition, and the Apostle Paul understood exactly what Timothy was going through because as the Apostle Paul was going on his missionary journeys, he always faced opposition along the way. And in many of those missionary journeys, Timothy was with him. Okay, Timothy went with him. So he knew exactly what Timothy was going through during this period of time. So he wrote a letter to encourage Timothy to continue to move forward in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, he wanted to encourage Timothy to, number one, keep the faith. Okay. Number two, stir up the gift that you have on the inside of you, okay? He wanted to encourage Timothy to keep teaching the truth, you know, concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in the face of opposition. He told Timothy to continue to take care of the Christians, okay, keep them from deflecting away from Christianity. And then he also said, continue to take care of yourself, okay, as you are going through this difficult time. How many of you know that we all need encouragement sometimes? Y'all still with me? Okay. He wanted Timothy to stay focused on the true gospel, okay, of Jesus Christ. Stay focused on the true gospel. Continue to confront those false teachers and teach them the truth. Because, you know, they don't want to accept the truth. They want to teach their false doctrine. So he really gave him some good encouragement. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And once again, in 2 Timothy, you know, he said to Timothy here, after he told him all these things, I want you to look at verse number 12, what he said. He said, for thee which cause I also suffer. These things, okay, let me read it again. For thee which cause I also suffer these things. Okay, in other words, what he's told him is that, you know, I go through some of the same things that you go through, Timothy, so I understand what you're dealing with. But he said in verse 12, he said, nevertheless. Somebody said, nevertheless. He said, yeah, I go through these things too, Timothy. I understand what you're going through. He said, but nevertheless. He says, I am not ashamed, okay? That word ashamed means, you know, in some translations, it says shame. In other words, what shame is, it's a painful feeling of humiliation based on how someone is acting, okay? Or someone's foolish behavior. If you look at the word shame, that's what you'll see. King James says ashamed right there. If he's talking about, if you look it up in some translation, it says shame. In other words, he said, I'm not moved by this. He said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed, Timothy, because I know of whom I have believed. And I am what? Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, okay? Or until that day, Jesus come back. He said, I know what you're going through. He said, I've been there. He said, but I know what I believe. He said, because of who I believe, he says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Now let me give you the title of this message up front. The title of this message is Becoming Fully Persuaded. Becoming Fully Persuaded. Y'all still with me this morning? Becoming Fully Persuaded. Because how many of you know, and I've already said this, that as long as we live in this world, as long as we are Christians, we will always face opposition in some form or fashion in this world. Always. And the reason for that is because of who your daddy is. You are a child of the Most High God if you are a Christian. And if you're not one, you can be one today. It does not cost you any money. Amen. You are a child of the Most High God, and Satan hates you. He don't like you. And guess what? Not only do he not like you, he does not like me either. Y'all still with me? So as long as we live in this world, as long as we are living the Christian life, he would always put opposition or obstacles in our way to try to discourage us, to try to slow us down, to try to cause us to lose our faith in God, to try to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us as long as you live in this world. How many know there's a scripture in the Bible that says, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Y'all still with me? But as long as we live in here, we're going to face opposition in some way, form, or fashion. That's just the way it is. Maybe some of you may be going through some opposition right now. But I'm here to tell you to hold on. Hold on. Because your God can and will deliver you if you believe. Y'all still with me? See, when we face opposition in this world, there are some things that we must know. Like the Apostle Paul said here, he said, I know whom I have believed. I know who I am. Remind me of the song, I Know Who I Am. Y'all know this song? Amen. There's some things we must know. Number one, you must know, and I must know, you must know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to know that. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to know. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. It's more to you than that if you are a Christian. And I've already said, if you're not one, you can be one today. You must know who you are. You must know who delivered you in the past. Like the song this morning, you must know whose breath is on the inside of you. You must know these things. You can't just believe those things. You must know them. How many of you know there's a big difference between knowing and believing? The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. That's in the book of James. Y'all still with me? So you must know. You must know who saved you. You must know who died on the cross for you. Yes, I know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. But you are part of the world. So I like to put my name there. For God so loved Ron that he sent his only begotten son. For God so loved Tiara that he sent his only begotten son. You have to make it personal. Make it personal. For God so loved Minister Marcy that he gave his only begotten son. You have to know who saved you. Y'all still with me? You have to know who died for you on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. You have to know that. He died for you. Make it personal. Y'all still with me? We must know whose word we believe. I don't know about you, but I shall believe the report of the Lord. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. You must know. You can't believe you know. You can't hope you know. You have to know that you know that you know that you know. You must know who to call on in time of need, in time of trouble, in difficult times. You have to know who to call on. Don't call your best friend first. Seek God first. And you call your best friend afterwards if you want to. But we must call on God first. Y'all still with me? He can deliver us out of anything. Why? Because he is God. I was going to say, don't call Tyrone, but I know Tyrone. I've said it in the past. I don't want to keep on, you know, y'all still with me? For those of you who don't know, that used to be a song, you know, you better call Tyrone. I know y'all know. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Tyrone, you know, I know you look back, you know, so you throw out, amen, amen, amen. He can deliver us time after time after time. I cannot go to God too many times. I can go to God all of the time. People say, well, I've been to God too many times, I can't go back. Oh, yes, you can. And he always answers the phone. Y'all still with me? So we need to call God. When you're going through trials and tribulations, opposition, situations in life, you have to call God. And he will deliver you every time. Are y'all still with me? Why? Because there is nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says that God is our strength. I want you to go to the 46th Psalm. The 46th Psalm. Call on God. 46th Psalm. Amen. You gotta call God. Because you're gonna go through some things in this world. Some of you might be going through stuff right now. Call on God. Amen. Y'all still with me? Are you at the 46th Psalm yet? I don't want to rush you. 46th Psalm. Yep. The Bible says in the 46th Psalm, verse number 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Some translation says in time of need. Some translation says in difficult times. Okay. Verse 2 says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It doesn't matter what happens, God is still our refuge and our strength. And when we're going through difficult times, regardless of what, where they're coming from, who they're coming from, regardless of the obstacle, regardless of the opposition, we must call on God. Why? Because he's God. I mean, who else are we going to call? Don't call Ghostbusters either. Call God, and he will deliver you. But listen to this. When you call on him, in the midnight hour, when you call on him in the noonday, you need to be fully persuaded that God will take care of your situation. You can't be hoping. Well, I just hope he do. No, you can't hope. I can't believe. I mean, I believe he will do it. You can't say you believe and you're doubting at the same time. How many of you know some people believe and doubt at the same time? You know, when Jesus healed a man's son in the Bible, he asked Jesus to heal him, and Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." See, sometimes you might believe one thing, you might not believe something else. But regardless of what we believe or not, we still have to know that we know that we know that God will always honor his word. God will always honor his promises, whether we know how he's going to do it or not. Okay? Because I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know. I just know he's going to. Yes, he's going to do it. And we don't need to know how. We need to just be fully persuaded that God is going to do what his word says he's going to do. And in every situation that we find ourselves in, you know, the Philippians tells us that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. It's not always talking about material things. You need to be delivered, God can supply that too. You need peace, God can supply that. You need joy, God can supply that. There's nothing God cannot do. Y'all still with me this morning? But we must be fully persuaded, fully persuaded. We cannot allow opposition of any kind to cause us to not trust in God, regardless of what it is. Doesn't matter. We must be fully persuaded that God will provide what we need. Listen, not one time, but every time. We're going to be fully persuaded. No doubt about it. Y'all still with me? No doubt about it. We must know that God will deliver us and we will always come out on top of the situation, and the situation will be placed under our feet. Why? Because God got involved in it. Now, when you try to do it yourself, the situation is going to be on top of your head, just pushing you down and giving you a headache at the same time. And I got a migraine. Why you have a migraine? I don't know. Yes, you know, you've been worrying about something. You've been trying to fix it yourself instead of giving it to God. See, when you try to hold on to it yourself, when I try to hold on to myself, I get a headache because the pressure is pushing down on me. But when I give it to God, it ends up being under my feet. And how do you know when something's under your feet, you are in control of it? You think I'm joking? Next time you see a bug crawling, put your feet on top of it. And I guarantee you he can't get away from you. Why? Because when it's under your feet, you and I, when I say you, I'm talking about me too, we are more powerful than whatever it is that's under our feet. But when we let it get on top of our head and start causing us to worry and stay awake at night and can't sleep, it's going to affect other things as well. Are you all still with me? That's why we have to give it to God. But once again, we must be fully persuaded. I already said this, I cannot just believe God can do it. I have to know God can do it. Big difference. I can't just believe it. Because see, sometimes believing causes people to waver when it don't happen when they thought it was going to happen or when they wanted to happen. I believe. 5 days later, I believe. Y'all still with me? Next day, his word said it, but no, that's doubt. That's doubt. I have to know that I know that I know that I know that God will deliver me out of that situation. To be fully persuaded, listen to this. I wrote down a definition. I need to be completely convinced. Notice I said completely, not halfway. I need to be completely convinced, totally assured. I can't be wavering, with the winds of the sea. I can't be double-minded. I can't believe it on Monday and not believe it on Tuesday. I have to be completely convinced that God will do what his word says that he will do, regardless of the situation. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low, river, no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to compete with God. And when I say mountain, river, I'm talking about situations in your life, situations in my life, obstacles, opposition. They're not too big for God. That's why we have to give it to him. Now listen, they're too big for us. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. But they're not too big for God. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Regardless of the situation, we must believe what Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 say. Well, what does it say, Pastor Ron? It says, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or what? Think. That means that when we give it to God, we don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. Why? Because he is God. Regardless of what people say about you, regardless of what they do to you, regardless of how you feel, regardless of whatever your status is, you might be the highest on the block. It doesn't matter. What people say or do to you, you must be, when you're facing these trials and tribulations, you must be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Notice I said fully. I didn't say persuaded. I need to be fully persuaded that my God will deliver me no matter what. Y'all lie. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I have to be fully persuaded. Can't be lingering. Fully persuaded. Let's see. I must know and believe. And listen to this. Sometimes Christians need encouragement. Yes, they may love God, they love Jesus, they love the Holy Spirit, but sometimes people need encouragement. And in a series of scripture, we find that Timothy needed some encouragement. Now, Timothy wasn't weak, he was a strong person. But he was in a situation where he needed someone to lift him up, to encourage him. And I don't know about you, but every Christian, at some point in time in their life need encouragement. It does not matter how many scriptures you can quote. It doesn't matter how many words you can speak in tongues. It does not matter how many times you fall out in the church. It does not matter. At some point in time in your life, you will need encouragement. When the Bible says, all right, I know the Bible says, oh, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, maybe sometimes you can encourage yourself, but maybe sometimes you can't. And Paul recognized a situation where Timothy was going through a difficult time and he needed some encouragement. So Paul said, yeah, let me write him this letter to remind him of who he is. Y'all still with me? Let him write this letter. And when Paul wrote the letter, amen, he wrote a letter of encouragement. He reminded Timothy of who you are in Christ Jesus. He even talked about his mother Lois and his grandma. One told him to disturb the gift. Stay in carriage. And then he said, as a matter of fact, go back to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go back to it. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just go back to it. I'm going to go back to it. Amen. Yep. Amen. He told him, once again, I want you to look down in the verse number. Let's just go back to verse number 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Look at what he said here. He said, Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. See, apparently they was talking to Timothy. You know, if you do some study, you'll find out that they were talking to Timothy, and they was telling him that doctrine Paul was teaching you is not correct. You know. So they was talking, they was not just talking about Timothy. And the doctrine, they're talking about Paul too. And Paul said, listen, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction. In other words, you know what Paul is saying? He said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of, but join me in this affliction as I serve God. Let's do this together. In other words, you're not by yourself. Because I face opposition also. That's what he's telling him. I think the NIV kind of says it kind of plain like I just said it. And then he said here, he said, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not a call according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He said, but now Jesus is made manifest. In other words, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Then he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for thee which cause I also suffer. In other words, he said, this is why I'm suffering. What you're going through is why I suffer as well. It's for what I've been going through. And then he says, these things. Then he says, but although I've been going through, nevertheless. That word nevertheless is like but. You know, you see but, forget about everything you just read. He said, I go through. He said, but nevertheless, I know. He didn't say, I believe. He didn't say, I think. He didn't say, maybe. He said, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day or until that day. He said, that's why I suffer. He said, my affliction is only temporary. I'm going to keep serving God in the midst of opposition. Y'all still with me? He's saying here, I am not going to let these things get me down. I'm going to stay focused on the prize. I'm going to stay focused on God. I'm going to continue to serve him and give this situation to him because I know he will take care of it for me. That's what he's saying here. See, don't you know that most people, Many people worry about things. They stress out about things. They get depressed about a lot of things. Do you know why? Do you know what happened to people? Well, let me tell you why it happens to people, because they might not even realize this is why it's happening. The reason why people get stressed out, the reason why people get depressed, the reason why people worry about things all the time is because they are not fully persuaded that God can handle this situation. They're not fully persuaded. Well, I know he can do it, but they're not fully persuaded. See, to be fully persuaded, it takes strong faith. Strong faith. I don't question it, God. I don't question the situation. I just operate in my strong faith. Strong faith in what? Strong faith in God, that God can change my situation. See? A lot of people don't have strong faith. They have faith. But sometimes it's not strong. Because if you really want to test your faith level, go through some things in life and see how you handle the situation. That's how you can tell what your faith level is. You know, most Christians, I believe every Christian should, but, you know, I believe most Christians, they know the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. They know that the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. They know this, the word says the just shall live by faith. But how strong is their faith? Well, you can tell how strong a person's faith is when they're going through difficult times. Because when they go through difficult situations, they will tell you out of their mouth how strong their faith is. If they say things like, man, I sure hope I get through this situation, then you know that the faith is weak. You know that they're not fully persuaded. They're not fully persuaded that God is able to do what God says he's going to do. They will tell you out of their mouth. Well, I tell you, man, I just don't know if I'm going to pass this test or not. They have weak faith. They have faith, but it's not strong faith. Because strong faith says whatever happens in this world, it's not too big for God. And if I'm a child of God, and if Jesus' victory is my victory, then through God, I am able to overcome this situation that I'm going through. Doesn't matter how tough it is. I am fully persuaded that God will take care of this situation. Y'all still with me this morning? I know I've said fully persuaded a million times. I'm trying to get it to you. You can't just be persuaded. I can't just be persuaded. I have to be fully persuaded. And fully persuasion is based on strong faith. Not just faith, but strong faith. The faith that when I speak to the mountain, I know it's going to be removed. Because the word of God tells me to speak to it. Y'all still with me? Strong faith. Once again, I must know and believe that there's nothing too hard for God. And if there's nothing too hard for God, there's nothing too hard for us through God. Nothing. And nothing times nothing. I told y'all on Wednesday night, with nothing plus nothing times nothing minus nothing, divided by nothing equals. I told y'all that, didn't I? Nothing. Y'all still with me? It requires strong faith. And when I have strong faith, then when other people are going through situations, I can easily encourage them, like Paul did with Timothy. Now, because of my strong faith, now that I am fully persuaded that God will change my situation, now I can encourage them to help them to get back on their feet. So they would know that God's going to take care of that situation also. Because Christians, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes we go through situations. We find ourselves down. And we know God can take care of the situation. But sometimes, you know, we still worry about things. Well, guess what? We need to be encouraged. That's what Paul did. He encouraged Timothy. See? He has strong faith. And we know, many of us know, all of us should know, that the Bible tells us how faith comes. How does faith come? Huh? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? So that means, in order for my faith to get stronger, that means that I need to hear the word. Well, wait a minute. If hearing the word makes my faith stronger, that means I need to go somewhere where the word is being taught. How many of you know that the word is taught in the church? I mean, you might hear some people at Walmart teaching or at the mall, but they're not getting in detail like the church. Y'all still with me? See? So I need strong faith, listen, not just for myself, but so I'm able to encourage other people. I can't encourage other people if I'm going through the same thing they're going through. I say, well, yeah, we're in this together, just trust in the Lord. And when I'm not even trusting in him. Y'all still with me? We have to encourage people. We have to. Not only was Paul fully persuaded that God would take care of his situation, he wanted Timothy to know that God will always also take care of your situation. Although Timothy knew it, he was just weak at the time. But see, what happens to a lot of people is that they come to church, but when they start facing opposition, they leave the church. And I'm not just talking about word of knowledge. I'm talking about church-wide. I mean, they're all right. As long as everything's all right. What's the name of Jesus? He's all right. And as soon as they start facing trials and tribulations, they leave the church. And that's exactly what Satan wants them to do. Because he does not want them to get the word. Because he knows that when the word comes, that's an opportunity for faith to get stronger. But people leave. And you know what? Instead of us talking about those people, you know what we need to do? Encourage them. Well, you know, so-and-so ain't been to church in 6 months. Have you encouraged them? Have you reached out? Because they might be dealing with some difficult times. And they might be a little down in their faith, and they need somebody with some strong faith to come and lift them up. It's going to be all right. God loves you. Remember what God did for you 3 years ago. Remember what he did for you 2 days ago when you were down. The same God that did it then, he can do it again. Get back up. Get back in the house of the Lord so you can continue to grow straight, to get stronger. Come on back. Let God use you. Don't give Satan place in your life. Come on back so you can get this word, because this word will help you to grow spiritually. That's what we need to be doing. But this is what Christians do. Well, hey, I know they're going through, but I ain't saying that because I'm going to stay in my lane. No, you're out of your lane. When we don't encourage one another, you're out of your lane. If you are a Christian in this place, and I'm included, when we do not encourage people when they're down, we can't say, I'm staying in my lane. No, you're out of your lane. As Christians, the Bible tells us to encourage. The Bible tells us to lift people up. The Bible doesn't tell us to criticize, but it tells us to encourage them. Y'all still with me? And if we start encouraging people, instead of talking about people, maybe they'll get enough strength to come back and so they can continue to grow in the word. But we got, man, I ain't seen so-and-so in church in 5 weeks. Well, guess what? Why are you worrying about so-and-so? Go help them. Reach out. Find out what's going on. They're not going to tell you all their business, but they'll be glad that you mentioned the name of Jesus. Because when I was a young kid, I used to listen to the radio, and they used to always say this, demons tremble at the sound of their name. See? So this Christian walk is not just about us. It's about others as well. That's why we need strong faith. Because strong faith helps us to be fully persuaded. And then we can go persuade someone else through the word of God. Are y'all still with me? So we need to lift them up. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't know. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a few pages to your left of the book of Timothy. 1 Thessalonians. Sometimes people go through. They're not weak. They're just going through some things at that particular time. And leaving church is the wrong answer. That's why we need to encourage them. Because when people leave church, they get worse than they are. And they say, well, I'm going to stream online. I read my Bible at home, and they don't read it. Because I used to do that. I used to not be in the church. I'd be like, well, you can read your Bible at home. But I never read it. And when people say that, I used to say it years and years ago when I wasn't in church. People get up. I said, man, I don't need to go to church. I can read my Bible at home. And I never picked it up. And I believe the majority of the people that say, well, I can read the Bible at home, they don't do it. People say that because of guilt. I used to say it because of guilt. Talking about me. I can talk about me if I want to. Talk about me. Man, I can read my Bible at home. I don't need to go to church. I can read my Bible at home. And guess what? I never read the Bible, nor was I going to church. And then one day I needed Jesus. My life wasn't going like I wanted it to go. I was going through some difficult times, difficult situations. And I realized that no one can help me but God. See, a lot of times when people are going through things, listen to this, when people are going through tough situations, they call on God. Some people. They call on God. Yeah, I gave my life to Jesus. Have you ever heard anybody say that who wasn't saved? Because they're in trouble now. I gave my life to Jesus. And as soon as they get out of trouble, they say, thank you, Jesus, but I don't need you anymore. And they go right back out there living the same way they lived before they gave that life to Jesus. But when I called on the Lord and he heard my cry and he delivered me, I said, there's no way I can go back. I've been changed, healed, freed, delivered, no more chains. Amen. Okay. Y'all don't hear me sing? It's okay. Amen. I'm just giving my testimony in song. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. See? Oh, yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 5. This is for Christians. This is what Paul is talking to here. He said in verse 5, he said, chapter 5, verse 5, he said, you are all the children of what? Light. He's talking to Christians here. He said, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunk are For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. I don't agree with Apostle Paul right there, because I see people in the daytime drunk. Y'all still with me? Amen. And then he said in verse 8, but let us who are of the day, Christians, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, verse 11, comfort yourselves together. That means to encourage one another. Comfort yourselves together and do what? Edify one another, lift each other up, even as also you do. In other words, he said we need to encourage one another. Because people go through trials and tribulations. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We can't let people leave the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they leave and go to another church, that's okay, as long as they go somewhere. But we can't let people stop, just leave the gospel and get out there by themselves, because Satan is going to really deal with them. We need to get them, bring them back into the family of God. Like I said, it doesn't matter. It matters. They need to go to a church where they can learn something. But I just want people to go to church. See? Because I want my church packed. Look, I want people to go. Just go. If it's not word of knowledge, go somewhere. Because you need to grow in faith. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Are you at Hebrews chapter 10? Just go to church somewhere. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 22. This is Paul again. He says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. I can't be persuaded if I don't have strong faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then he says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Talking about God. Then the Bible says, 24, and let us do what? Consider who? Notice the word didn't say just consider your own self. It says, let us, he's talking to Christians here. He said, let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good work. And then he says that we need to come together. He says in verse 23, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves apart from one another. Together. Come together. Christians, we need to come together. Let us hold fast our profession of faith, because people are, I got faith, greater than mustard seed. You know, no, yeah, put your faith to work. That's what he's saying here. He said, let us consider one another to provoke until the way, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, the word means to encourage, right? Exhorting one another. Exhorting who? One another. Notice it doesn't say exhort your own self. It said exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. What day? Well, the day that Jesus is coming back. We need to encourage one another, Christians. We need to do a better job encouraging one another. Notice he didn't say criticize one another. He said encouraging one another. Because there are Christians out there right now who are spiritually weak because of some opposition that they are facing, and instead of Christians encouraging them, they're talking about them. Man, so-and-so, yeah, talking, oh, they took me out, look at them. No. We need to encourage. We need to let people know that God still loves you. We need to let people know God is not upset with you. He just hates sin. We need to let people know you can still come boldly to the throne of grace. We need to let people know, remember when you used to do this and do that? You can still do that. You can pick yourself up, and God can still use you. Encouragement. That's what we need to do. Encouragement. See? But how can we encourage someone else when we can't even encourage our own selves? That's why we need to be fully persuaded. Because listen, it's not about us. It's all about Him. It's not about what we can or cannot do. It's about what God can do. And guess what? There is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot do. We need to have strong faith. Faith comes by hearing. And we need to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. We can't be wavering like the winds of the sea, like James said in James chapter 1. We can't be double-minded. Monday we believe, Tuesday we don't. Wednesday we believe, Thursday we don't. I know God's going to do it. Well, maybe God might do it. Well, he said he was going to do it. I haven't seen it yet. No, you can't. We can't go back and forth. Either we believe God or we don't. And the only way we're going to stop having those negative thoughts, Christians, is that we have to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Yes, I'm going through. This situation is hard. But I know God. I know He will deliver me. Because there's nothing that He cannot do. That's what we need to be saying to ourselves. And we need to be like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You know, when King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 3, when King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them, you know, to worship an image when the music played. You don't worship the image, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. They was facing opposition. And them boys sitting in that fiery furnace right before they got there. And there's a king. And I like, they were very polite. They recognized the king, yes, the king. They didn't curse him out. They was calm in that situation. They were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was going to turn up the heat. See, sometimes you're facing opposition in life, and it seems like on Monday you're going through, and on Tuesday somebody didn't turn up the heat. Now you're facing another problem. But they didn't start singing songs like Trouble in My Way, I Gotta Cry Sometime. They was cool and calm. I mean, when I read that, I'm like, these guys was cool and calm. You know, we know what they were, you know, blah, blah. But you got to think about what they were in. See, a lot of times, if you haven't been through what people are going through, you don't know what they're going through. So you can't say, I know how you feel, because you don't, because you've never been there. I don't understand why they let that little problem deal with them. What's little to somebody might be big to you. What's big to you might be little to someone else. So these boys, smart boys, they went with, in exile to Babylonian. They was part of the first group with Daniel. And they just loved God. And as he's talking to them, he's a king. He said, hey, dude. They said, King. They recognized him. Hey, let me tell you something. He said, Daniel chapter 3, you can read it when you get home. He said, I know they told you, because you always got somebody snitching, right? King, I know they told you what we said. You know, that we're not going to, you know, worship any gods or that image that you created when the music play, you know, the music play and you start running, amen. We're not going to do that. And you know what they said? Calmly. They said, because we know that our God will deliver us. They didn't say might. They didn't say maybe. They said, you do whatever you want. Because whatever you do, we know our God will deliver us. And then they said, but even if he don't, now that's being fully persuaded. That's fully persuaded. They said, even if he don't, we still not going to worship that image or any other God. Now, I'm going to ask one day when I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to ask them a question, because I don't believe they said, even if he don't, thinking there's a possibility that he wouldn't do it. I think that they knew he was going to do it, but they just let the king know that, look, we serve God. And there's nothing that can stop us from being fully persuaded that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Well, you know, the king threw him in the fire furnace. They were just patient, going through the trial and tribulation, their obstacle, their opposition. They just trained. They were just letting patience have her perfect work. James chapter 1. Because the Bible tells us that we are in need of patience. But Christians, a lot of people do not have patience when they're going through situations because they are not fully persuaded. They're not fully persuaded. So they start to worry. They get nervous, start biting their fingernails, pulling their hair out, all kinds of things. Just stand still, like God told them in the book of Exodus. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God will show up because he never left in the first place. He's always with us, no matter what. So instead of us focusing on the situation, the opposition, we need to focus on the God who will deliver us, but we must be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. We can't be wavering back and forth. Well, God's going to do it. No, he won't. Maybe he will. I don't know. That doesn't work. That's doubt and unbelief. But as I've already said, when you know that you know that you know that you know, no one can convince you otherwise. Well, nobody ever got through that before, but God's going to deliver me through. That's fully persuaded talk. Well, no, that's not fully persuaded. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that he can ask or think. Y'all still with me? Gotta have strong faith. And I'm almost done. Another example of strong faith is a man called Abraham. You know, the one that God made the father of many nations. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm almost done. I'm sorry. I want you to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Strong faith. Not weak faith, but strong faith. Not medium faith, but strong faith. I have to have strong faith in order to be fully persuaded. If I don't have strong faith, I'm going to waver. Like the winds in the sea, like the Bible talks about in James chapter 1. I'm going to be double-minded. Believe God, I do not believe God. Believe God, I do not believe God. I need to have strong faith. And once again, Christians, as I've already mentioned, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I can talk about faith all I want to, but it's not going to do me any good to talk about it when that big trial and tribulation comes that causes me to stress and stay in the bed for a whole week. I got to face it. I have to face it head on, knowing that I'm never by myself. God is always with us. Y'all still with me? I'm almost done. I got about a minute and 45 seconds to go. I want you to go to Romans chapter 4. You should be there already. Amen. I want to start with verse number 1, and then I'm going to skip all the way over to verse number 17. The Bible says in verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, father of many nations, as pertaining to flesh has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, he wasn't justified by works. He was justified by faith. Y'all still with me? And then he said, for what saith the scripture? And what Paul is doing, he is telling the Christians in Rome, he's educating them on what happened all the way back in Exodus when God made Abraham the father of many nations. You know, back in the book of Genesis. And look at what he said here. He said in verse 3, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I want you to go all the way over to verse number 17. Verse 17. He's continuing to talk to the Christians at Rome about what happened with Abraham. In verse 17, he says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. The Bible says God does that. And then the Bible says in verse 18, who against hope, talking about Abraham, who against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, God told Abraham, when you believe your kindred, your father's house, you know, do what I tell you to do, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. That's what Paul's talking about here. And then the Bible says in verse 19, talking about Abraham, and being not what? Strong in faith. How many know the opposite of strong faith is weak faith? He said, Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The Bible says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, he didn't waver. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And the Bible says, and he was fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded. That's how he became the father of many nations. Y'all still with me? But he would not have been fully persuaded without strong faith. Go ahead and stand to your feet. It took strong faith. Not just any kind of faith. Not weak faith, but strong faith. And Christians, I'm here to tell you that as Christians, we must become fully persuaded that God is able to do exactly what his word says that he can do. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. In order for me to be fully persuaded that God can do exactly what his word says he can do, I need to know what the word says that he can do. I need to be taught the word. I need to hear the word. Because when I hear the word, faith comes. And the more word I hear, the more faith comes. And once I receive the faith that's coming, I get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger spiritually. And as I get stronger and stronger, it doesn't matter what goes on in my life. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. What's happening to my family? What's happening to my friend? It does not matter. I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress. I don't have to get depressed. I don't have to stay up all night and can't go to sleep. I don't have to do that. All I need to do is give the situation to God. And I need to know that once I give it to God, I need to get myself out of the way. Okay? Give it to God. And then once I give it to him, I need to be fully persuaded that God will take care of that situation. Fully persuaded, and I can't waver. Once I started to waver, now I'm doubting God. And doubt crosses out faith every time. Amen? Just want to encourage you this morning, encourage myself. Somebody give God a hand of praise because he's worthy. Have to be fully persuaded.